Thank you very much, and thank everyone for being here. So I'm going to be talking about a new lab activity I developed for our class. This is brand new. I actually just launched it last fall. The reason I wanted to present today is share the ideas that I've generated in this lab activity, and then really looking forward to any comments, suggestions folks have to help me evolve this. This is the second year. I'm just starting the second year of this one. So I want to share this information. I'm pretty sure I'm probably one of the small, I know Dickinson is in the back, but I'm pretty sure I'm one of the smallest schools here, probably at the conference. I'm at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University in central Minnesota. We're about an hour northwest of the Twin Cities metro area. Our student body size is about 3,600 students overall, undergrads. We have 37 majors, 40 minors, median class size of about 19. So to just put, I'm very different than a lot of the presentations I realized today, but I wanted to preface with that information. So how this class, this lab activity is embedded within a class and how this class came about. I'm housed in the Environmental Studies Department. I'm one of the two science guys in the Environmental Studies Department. And then in my second year, I was tasked with coming up with my upper level elective of my choosing. So I came up with this course, Sustainable Agriculture Science. I'm a soil scientist by trade, and I would love to teach a straight up soil science class, but you can imagine a small liberal arts college, I need to draw a lot of students in. So if I keep it a buzzy sustainable agriculture kind of word, I tend to get more students, and I think it'll be more sustainable as a course enrollment overall. So, and content-wise, what we cover in this class, I want to outline just a little bit of that. I do a little intro, ag history stuff. We do a brief review of the energy cycle, water cycle. And then kind of the meat and potatoes of this course are really in the middle with the carbon. We do a lot of carbon cycling work. We talk a lot about the nitrogen cycle. As you know, it's a very tricky cycle to understand, so we spend a lot of time on that. And then once the students have some baseline scientific understanding, we delve into some special topics. So we talk about things like climate change, water quality, biofuels, things like that. And you can see the basic, we're on a semester time frame, so you can kind of see my week breakdown of how much time I generate for each of those topics. And you know, my student enrollment the first couple of years, about 10, 11 students. That's not actually that uncommon for a brand new upper level elective. I don't have much of a following yet because it's a brand new course. And then who's in there? I service mostly it's environmental studies majors, but I do have several biology majors. And then on the bottom there, we're going to see some name changes, but what you folks would probably think of as an environmental science student. And this class, so I've got two 80-minute lectures during the week. And then attached to it as a requirement is this 1 3-hour lab class that meets once a week. So as far as developing this lab and trying to brainstorm what I'm going to be doing to teach some of this carbon and nitrogen cycling, at this point in the semester, the information they know at this point that where this lab comes in, that soil management activities greatly influence soil biology and subsequently carbon and nitrogen cycling. Those kind of placement timing-wise where I was going to put this lab. And then some of my goals that I had when I was trying to put this lab together, I wanted something to bridge this transition as we move from the carbon cycle over into the nitrogen cycle. And I wanted students to be integrating and starting to apply their knowledge of carbon and nitrogen cycling into some sort of lab activity. I also wanted to provide them with a really tangible experience in quantifying something that's often invisible to us. When we talk a lot about carbon and nitrogen cycling, we're talking a lot about gases. And students have a hard time visualizing that, so I want to get something more tangible that they can come away and kind of grasp their understanding of that. And I also I don't like canned labs. I wanted something new and exciting and give them some creative freedom elements in it. And then I also wanted a lab that would engage a lot of students. I found even on our small campus, believe it or not, very interested in climate change issues, right? Maybe your campuses have similar student body interests, but anyway, and that happens to be my area of specialization too, so that's a nice win-win. And obviously utilizing resources that I have at hand. So what this lab looks like is at the beginning of the lab, we start talking about it. Students need to come up with some sort of soil amendment of their own choosing. Here's some of the creativity. And then pick out some soil amendment. I've got some basic safety considerations. This semester I had some folks wanting to do a herbicide. I didn't really want to deal with that in the classroom, so I curtailed them and gave some other creative ideas, and they went with one of those. And then they need to do a basic lit review to understand what is the chemical makeup of that thing they want to apply to the soil. So what is C to N ratio? What's a basic nutrient analysis of that thing look like? They got to do a little homework, a little research on that. And then they got to look up too, what's a recommended application rate? Or if it's not something that's really applied a lot, what's a logical application rate? How would you quantify a logical application rate for this thing you're going to test? And then, you know, the ground piece of everything is they got to create a hypothesis. So then you got to think about, well, all right, we're going to take this thing. I know a little bit about its chemical composition, I'm going to apply it to soils. How do I think now that this thing is going to influence soil trace gas emissions? So we're going to be measuring as a class carbon dioxide, potentially methane, nitrous oxide, ammonia, that's what's available to us. So they've got to come up with that hypothesis. And I just wanted to break down curriculum-wise what we're walking through each kind of like activities each week as we go through this lab. So the first week, we're introducing them to the project, and then we also spend a lot of time introducing them to the analyzer we're going to be using. I want to make them very comfortable. It's an easy-to-use analyzer, but I want to make them comfortable using it. So we take some practice soils. I bring some wetland soils in, upland soils, wet, dry, fertilized, unfertilized. We play around with lots of different soils and look at what happens when you measure the trace gas emissions off these soils. So it's kind of fun. Gets them comfortable. And then they get in their groups and they figure out what kind of amendment they want to use and do a little research on that. By the second week, they've chosen their amendment, and then we start kind of getting ready to build our project. I've already selected the soil that we're going to use for this project. I've air-dried that and collected that soil ahead of time to save us time as a lab. But then we actually utilize the Web Soil Survey to go in. I show them on campus, where did I find the soil? Let's explore some basic properties about the soil that we're going to be using in this study. So we get a little background there. Then they do simple things. They're prepping the soil, so they're getting about 7 kilos per group to work with, passing it through 2-millimeter sieve. We also have this in this lab determine the soil water holding capacity based on a basic saturated paste test. And then we're oven drying down those soils and their amendments to figure out the moisture content in both those elements. So the third week, then we're ready to get going. So then we build our microcosms in week three and add their amendments, add the soil, bring all the soils up to about 60% water holding capacity. We do a quick walkthrough, remind everybody how to use the instrument just in case they'd forgotten from week one, make sure they're still comfortable with that. And then the last part of that lab, we determine organic matter of the soil as a class using a combustion test. So week four, they've done lots of sampling now. They've actually got generated lots of data. And so then we start talking about, well, we've got all this data, what do we do? So we start talking about, well, what's a gas flux? What's the rate of flow coming out of this soil? So we have to walk through what is the ideal gas law. We review what that is. And then we start walking through a computation of an actual gas flux you would see in literature. So I take their actual studies that they're doing in class with this microcosm, and we walk through together, how do you calculate a gas flux using your data? So we do that as a group. You know, a lot of quantitative work, it's a little overwhelming. Then I provide them with a basic Excel calculator that kind of they just have to plug and play a bunch of their numbers, but they understand how it was built by that point. So they're going to be using that to make their own calculations. The fifth week, again, they've got lots of data. Now they've got flux rates. So then we say, okay, that's the rate of flow coming out of the soil. Well, how do you compare your control to your treatment in the end? Like, what's the total mass loss? So then we talk about cumulative emissions. So then we walk through how do you calculate a cumulative emission. So we do that as a group. Same thing. We use their data. We walk through it together as a class. And then once again, I provide them with a little handy-dandy calculator that they can plug and play some of the numbers. It's kind of set up for them where they know things need to go. And then the last part of that lab, we've got lots of data. Well, how would you commonly display this data in the literature field? So we look at some scientific literature, we compare papers, and then we go as a group. We start saying, okay, I've got data. I want to compare it similar, make similar figures to what you would see out in the literature. So then we're doing things together. We're making scatter plots to show flux rates. We walk through how to make a line graph or a bar graph just to compare cumulative emissions in the end. Basic review of how to display the data. And then the sixth week, we're wrap things up. They've summarized their findings at this point. They do little oral presentations. And then we sit down as a group and we start discussing, have a lot of really good discussion on each of the projects. What happened? Did it line up with what you thought? Why or why not? So we do lots of discussion in that lab. And then we do, as group dynamics we talked about before, we do peer evaluations as well. So everybody's accountable, right? Implementation-wise, to give you some more ideas of what this lab looks like, so each group is responsible for 6 little microcosms. They're just 1.9-liter mason jars with a modified lid, so they got 3 controls, 3 reps. The soil is part of our discussion early on because I chose a particularly low organic matter soil as far as Minnesota soils go. It's pretty low organic matter, and I talk about that because I don't want a lot of organic matter background to occlude some of those CO2 respiration emissions. I want them to see results, and I make that a point to them because as researchers, we know it's more fun when you see something, right? So we do that, and then it's just basically a kilo of soil per microcosm maintained at a 60% water holding capacity. Soil temperature is maintained at about 22 degrees. That's something I'm working on right now. I've got some challenges with that. I'd be happy to talk to people about that. To give you ideas on what kind of things the students have chosen, first year, there was spent coffee grounds, fresh grass clippings, mulched buckthorn leaves. And then this year, the groups have now selected kitchen compost from one of their apartments, some well-rotted mushroom compost, and soybean meal. So these are the things we're going to be testing this semester. And how we do the analysis, so we use a GasMet Mobile FTIR. This is also my research instrument, but it's really easy to use, robust, students could use it. So I'm not going to hoard that thing to myself. I want to use that in my class, let everybody use that instrument. So we integrate that with those microcosms. We're measuring CO2, methane, nitrous oxide, possibly ammonia simultaneously. It updates every second, or every 60 seconds that we have it set for. It could do as fast as 20 seconds. But basically, you're just watching that thing update. We take, this is kind of the crazy part, we get the students to take actual measurements, flux measurements, once a day for a week. So that is some outside time. I'll talk about that in a second. And then the next 2 weeks, so it's a three-week period, we're just doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday samplings outside of class. So this ends up being about an hour time commitment outside of class, which is one of my early hesitations with even doing this lab. But I'll touch on that in a minute. So the cool part about this lab, and again, I'm making the invisible kind of visible, was just the results. They love using this machine, and they have a great time looking at CO2 in real time generating right in front of them, or nitrous oxide, and they get really, they start chattering about, oh, I shot over 2,000 ppm in just 5 minutes. What'd you get? They're talking about what they got. So they become really highly engaged using this very visual kind of screen right in front of them measuring the gases. These are just some results I pulled right out of their lab reports. Again, I have issues with every one of these graphs, but I did not. I didn't tweak their data. I'm just taking their results to show you kind of some of the stuff they generate. So they've got some flux emissions in the upper left up there, represented as bar charts. All the others are actually cumulative emissions. One group is showing it as a line graph down below, and then they've got basic bar graphs over here. One on top there, methane, CO2. So those are the kind of things that they're measuring in this project. My university and my department subsequently is doing a lot of assessment right now. I don't know if any other institutions are going through big assessment things. So I tried to come up with, I have lots of outcomes I can name for this, but I want to make them all assessable outcomes, right? So I've got artifacts that I can assess. Oh, all that fun. So I just point out a few that the outcomes that students get out of this is written and oral communication as far as conveying scientific information. They're collecting and evaluating original data to effectively describe the results as it relates to their own hypothesis, which is important. They're also drawing conclusions as a logical extrapolation of the original data they collect within the context of what we've been talking about in class and some of the outside literature review they've done for this project. And then finally, I ask them in the final report also to critique our methodology a bit. So they need to talk about how we collected it and the way identify some of the limitations or maybe implications of what we chose to measure, what that would mean as far as extrapolating this data beyond that. And because I'm near the end of time, just a couple lessons learned. I was very surprised. Students are willing to commit to lab time outside of class. I was not sure if this would work, but I have a trade-off with them, and I note this at the beginning of the semester. I actually cancel a lab early in the semester. They have no lab. And then two of our last labs in the class we dedicate to expert speaker days. So for them, there isn't a lot of intense work on those days. They have to bring questions for our speakers, but that's it. And they like that a lot at the end of the semester, I'll tell you. So they were okay with this. This wasn't a huge thing. And if there's groups of three or four, this isn't a big time commitment. They round robin who's in charge of what day, and it works out fine. You may have seen, if you've done similar labs, data management skills vary widely amongst undergrads. So this is something I'm working on. I'm actually trying to do some more projects at lower level classes so that they get a little bit better at data management, because we generate a lot of data in this class and we need to organize it effectively. So that's something I'm working on. Always have backup consumables. The only consumable I have is ultra-high purity nitrogen to calibrate this instrument. That's all you need. But inevitably, somebody's going to forget to turn off the regulator or leave the valve on, right? So always have your backup consumables on hand just in case. And then just as a naive professor, I'm younger, I'm only in my fourth year, I got to create more space between all these deadlines with final presentation, final lab report, end of semester. If you give students more time to do a good job in that lab report, they're not actually going to take more time to do work, right? They're going to leave that till the end of the semester. So I purposely now am spacing them more equivalently apart so they don't have a bunch of stuff at the end of the semester. So with that, I thank you for your time. And again, open to any questions, comments you have. Again, this lab is actively evolving now as it's only in its second year. So hope to share more outcomes in the future too. Thank you. They're sitting right back here, but yeah. So I'd say I think the basic greenhouse gas setup, so I use it as research instrument too, but 50 to 60 in that fall?
Yeah,
okay.
50,
yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, sir.
So instead of doing amendments, have you considered doing different soils or let them bring in the soil from their home area?
Yeah, that's a good question. So have I considered letting them do different soils or bring amendments, or excuse me, soils from their home area? Yeah, that's a good idea. We could do that as well if they wanted. And then what would they compare, just two different soils, you would say?
Yeah,
or?
Make it very personal too.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yep.
I believe we're out of time.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Yep. Thank you.